Thank you. Good morning. Let us just bow our heads and pray, and you can be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that came from Peter. We thank you, Lord, for his encouragement, because we are living in times, Lord, that is difficult. And we have to stand firm and be convicted, Lord, of your word and by you, so that, Lord, we don't give in to peer pressure. We don't do the things that we want to do, but Lord, we do the things that we ought to do, that is right in your sight. So this morning we pray that you, Holy Spirit, will soften our hearts and that our minds, Lord, will be receptive to receiving your word. And may we just receive whatever you want us to learn this morning, Lord. So I just pray, may the word of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, Lord, be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to continue from Peter. And Peter was writing to the persecuted and dispersed Christians during his time to encourage those who were scattered everywhere to stand firm on God's word. And as Christians, we are called to be holy or set apart from the rest of the world. You know, we know that to be true, but in reality and in practice, that is something so difficult to do. So often trying to live as Christians in this world feels like salmon swimming upstream. I'm sure we all know about salmon. And salmon are kind of weird. They, you know, they just jump up and they swim against the tide, and that takes so much energy. But you know what? Salmon still do that. Although as they jump up, they are caught by the bears and they're eaten by the bears. So now we start to think like, you know, why would salmon do that? Aren't they silly? Isn't it kind of dumb, a dumb thing to do? Well, firstly, the salmon, that's in their nature. That's what they do, to swim upstream. And secondly, they swim upstream to lay their eggs and in posterity for their survival. So, yeah, as you can see in the images, the salmon face a lot of pressure like us, like we do. And in the same way, we as Christians, we as God's people, we have a pressure to conform to the world. Pressure to follow the patterns of the world. Pressure to do what the world does. Pressure not to stand out or to attract criticism. Pressure to swim downstream. However, like the salmon, we are called to swim upstream. So we have to fight against tremendous pressure and danger. We get knocked down, but we stand up and then we start all over again. And we do this, why? Because that's who we are as aliens in this world. We also do it because then we can leave behind a legacy. So Peter urges us in verse 11 to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against our soul. Now, how do we do that? Firstly, we need to fight against our tendency to want to fit in. Secondly, fight against our tendency to rebel against authority. Thirdly, fight against our tendency to abuse our freedom. If we want to live as aliens in this world, in a world that we cannot call our own, first we need to fight against our tendency to want to fit in. Let's look at verse 12 and let's read it together. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Thank you. But here, Peter is saying that our behavior needs to excel that of the Gentiles and to keep our conduct honorable among the Gentiles. But what does keeping our conduct honorable mean? What does excel mean? To excel means to be committed to excellence, to be effective Christians, to be found faithful to God, to be patient, to be loving, to be transparent, to be loving, to be forgiving, to be helpful to anyone in need, to provide guidance, to share information, to share knowledge, submitting to one another, and not to be afraid that we will be criticized, and so on. You know, When I thought about that, a great example of a person came to mind, and that person is Daniel. You know, Daniel, like you and me, he lived as an alien in the land of Babylon. And one day, King Darius, due to foolishness of the court officials, he decided to erect a golden statue, and he made it a law that everybody must bow down and worship that statue. And anyone found not doing that will be thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel faced tremendous pressure to fit in. And guess what he did? He said, no, he will only worship the one true God, the great Yahweh, the great I Am. So he did not. And King Darius had to put Daniel into the lion's den. You know, Daniel was a man of God. And throughout his life, he stood firm, he stood strong. And even though it was difficult, he never gave in to pressure. And he never tried to fit in with the crowd. And guess what? The next day, after coming up from the lion's den, he was alive. And King Darius helped in the spread of Christianity because he allowed Christianity, the worship of the one true God, to be allowed in the land of Babylon. Isn't that marvelous? And it's all because of Daniel, because he was a man of God and he never gave in to pressure. So the lesson to learn from Daniel is that we must live lives that are honorable and excellent, which means to live as one who holds a great esteem and high respect for God, people who adhere to what is right in God's sight, not what we think is right ourselves. We treat people right, the way we handle relationships, the use of edifying words, encouraging one another, telling one another the truth in love, even though it may hurt, and building people up. My husband, KS, he's very gentle and he nurtures our people. And everybody underneath him knows that he is very gentle and he edifies them with and trying to build them up. He's able to influence without authority. And most of the people in Exxon who knows him knows that. And his bosses also often give him praise. Not because really of what he is able to do, but what God is able to do through him. So we praise God for that. When the Bible says that our conduct among Gentiles must be honorable, it is saying that we are a holy nation, a people separated for God. It is not saying that we should be antisocial. You see, there's a difference between assimilating into a culture socially and assimilating into a culture morally. For example, I used to live in England, and the words we use there is so different from the words, the terms that we use in America. When I first came to US, I would say, oh, I need to go put petrol in my car. And people would look at me like, she's strange. Then I realized that you say gas over here. And then I would say, oh, okay, let's open my boot. And they said, what? And then I realized that, oh, what you'll use is, oh, open my trunk, the trunk of the car. To fit in with the American culture, I changed my thinking. I changed the use of spoken words. And now say gas, and now say trunk, and why say highway? Because I needed to fit into the American culture socially. However, that is not the same as fitting into the American culture morally. Socially, we should be fluid and learn the dynamics of whatever culture we're in. However, morally, our moral conduct needs to be excellent or excel that of our non-believing peers, because our standard is God's standard. There is no need to be socially weird or awkward or be antisocial. However, when it comes to our moral behavior, we want to be different from our peers. For example, teenagers in school, it is often easy to give in and just go along with our peers. When my daughter was in high school, when she was a junior and especially senior year, she would say, you know, many of the athletes, I would ask her in class, because she's known to do well in her tests, in her assignments. And these athletes would ask her, can we copy from you? Many times she would say no, because she felt it wasn't right. It was morally wrong for her to allow them to copy her answers. You know, they didn't like her. I mean, honestly, they didn't like her. And at times she comes back home, she would be in a bad mood because they don't like her. However, in the midst of pressure to conform, she stood firm in her conviction. And as adults working in society, in the corporate world, we are also tempted to make morally wrong decisions. My husband was sharing with me a story about his friend in another country. She worked in a small company and she was forced by her boss to falsify the accounts to avoid paying tax. However, that's what everybody has been doing. So the bosses were trying to force her to do the same thing. She refused because she knew it was wrong in God's sight. So eventually she had to quit her job and look for another job. Friends, we need to do what is right in God's sight. Otherwise, we are just hypocrites. We are evildoers worthy to be slandered. And that was one of the points in one of the sermons a few weeks ago, how the world slanders us and say that Christians are just hypocrites. When our behavior excels that of the Gentiles, God is glorified. By not giving in to the pressures of the world and not becoming like one of the people in society, our behavior is excellent. We stand firm on God's word. We stand convicted of God's word in our lives. So we don't follow the crowd, even when the crowd is doing something not right. We are courageous and we are willing to say no, because we know that is what Jesus would do, and that is what is morally right. So this morning, friends, are you facing pressures today from your peers to fit into their moral patterns? Does your moral conduct today excel that of your peers? We need to be ready to fight against our tendency to want to fit in morally. And I hope you are beginning to understand and know that as aliens here today, another thing we need to be ready for is this: to fight against our tendency to rebel against authority. And now let's look at verses 13 and 15. Let us continue to read together. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. As children, we often rebel or go against authority above us. Let me share this incident when my daughter was lost in Disney World. She was 3 at that time. She loved her brother Andrew, who was 7 at that time. And Andrew was, because he was taller, he was older, he was able to ride on all the rides in Disney World. But she was not, because she was only 3 and she was shorter. After being told by the 3rd time, she got angry and she just walked off. And KS had to take care of Andrew and David, our youngest, who's 1.5 years old. And I thought, you know, she's 3. She's not going to go and get lost, right? I mean, she doesn't know anybody. So I said, okay, I'm going to wait for her to come back. And you know what? Before I knew it, she was gone from my sight. And I spent 10 to 15 minutes frantically praying and looking and saying, oh, you know, what am I going to do? I don't want to lose her. And I found her standing next to a policeman, her arms crossed, in tears, but still looking cross. I don't think she realized that she was rebelling. She just didn't know how to express herself. When our parents tell us to do something, we usually do the opposite. We did that as kids, and now, especially as teenagers, we often push back against our parents' authority. I remember when I was 16 years old, when I would go to friends' birthday parties, my parents would say, come back by 12. And you know what I would always do? At that time, I don't know why. That's what I would just do. I would come back after 12. It could be 5 minutes after 12. It could be 15 minutes after 12, but it was never at 12 or before 12. It was always after. And even as adults, we do it as adults, but not in an overt way, but oftentimes in a covert way. No one likes to pay taxes, right? If it wasn't for law enforcement, we would also be tempted to break all kinds of laws. If there's no IRS, we might sort of cheat a little, or we might, you know, report taxes and pay less than what is required. Or we may say that other people cheat or don't pay taxes, so why should we? And in Romans 13, verse 7, Paul tells us, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And some people want to defund police brutality. So they don't like the police, they don't like the authority the police represent. So they say, they're not doing anything that's right, they're not doing anything that's good, we don't have to obey them. But underneath, it is really a desire for us to have a freedom to just rebel against authority. This is because we believe that we know better and that we are better than the ones in authority, because we have seen, we have heard instances of people in power, in authority, abusing their power, abusing their authority. And in reality, in each one of us, we have what we call a rebellious streak. In Genesis, we saw Eve. She heard God tell her what to do. She heard the snake, and she obeyed the snake instead of obeying God. So she rebelled against God. Like Eve, we focus on what we could not have or the restrictions placed on us. We don't look at the things that we can enjoy or the things that we have. God tells us that he has a purpose for authorities in our lives. Government to protect us, government to lead us, government to guide us, and laws to keep us safe and for consequences. As Christians, we are called to live in a way that by our behavior, actions, and words, we will be able to be good testimonies of Christ and recommend it to those who still do not know or accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 tell us that we are to live honorable lives. So as Christians, our highest calling and obligation is to obey our Lord God. We are supposed to work together with the government. But we must remember from Matthew 22, verse 21, that we render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God's. Years ago, we lived in a country where there was a favored race. The favored race had great privileges, scholarships, places in the local universities, preferential loans, mandatory discounts for buying houses, and so on. And they were able to start a company, a business company, without too much issue. However, when another local race wants to start a company, that was not allowed unless they have a person of the favored race. And that person must be holding a high position. If not, no one else can start a business company. The citizens in that country did not agree with the law, but they accepted it, especially the Christians, because they believed that the Christian's highest calling and obligation is to obey God. You know, as Christians, as people, they could start bad-mouthing the government, create riots, protests, create hostilities, or as Christians, they could submit to the authority because they believed the Bible, which says that God institute governments over all countries. The Christians thus have won many non-believing peers to come to believe and trust in God through their honorable and excellent conduct. I agree, it is hard, yet we submit to those God has placed authority over us, not because they are great managers or great leaders or great teachers or that they are great parents. We submit to them because it is for the Lord's sake. And by doing so, we are silencing the ignorance of foolish people. In other words, no one has anything bad to say about us. Living for Christ may cause unbelievers to sneer at us and be irritated with us and mock us. But you know what? By our excellent example, we can stand strong, we can stand firm, and say that God be glorified. So let us stand strong and firm without dishonoring the authority above us. I don't know about your current situation today, but are you struggling to submit to someone in your life who has authority over you? Perhaps it's your boss, perhaps it's your manager, perhaps it's your school teacher or Sunday school teacher. Perhaps it's your parents. Perhaps it's your pastor. Perhaps it's your government official. The easy thing for you and me to do is to just rebel. That's what your non-believing friends will tell you to do. What is God saying to you today? As aliens living in this world, we are to win against the tide. As we fight against the tendency to rebel against authority, another thing we need to be ready for is to fight against our tendency to abuse our freedom. And we can see that. Let's read verse 16 together. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Amen. What kind of freedom is Peter talking about here? Freedom is not the right to do what we want, not the right to do what I want, but the ability to do what we ought to do. And without Christ, we are slaves to sin. We cannot do what is right. Paul in Galatians 5, verse 1 says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And in Romans 7, verses 1 to 6, Paul also teaches that we are free from the law or free from the bondage of sin. And in Christ, we are free. In other words, we now have the freedom to choose whether to sin or not to sin. Before we become believers, we had no choice but to sin. If you tell a lie, most of the time you feel it's okay. You don't feel bad about it. In fact, it might feel even natural. It might even feel normal. It's a natural thing for us to do because we are not free to do otherwise. And that's because before coming to Christ, we were still in bondage to sin. However, now that we are saved, we are free. We have a choice. The problem is when given freedom, we tend to abuse it. That's just how we are. Did you notice how the more freedom people have, usually the more they are prone to break the law? Peter here is warning us not to take our freedom for granted and not to abuse it. Instead, we are to use our freedom as bond slaves to God, meaning we use it to serve God. We use this freedom to honor God so we can be living servants of God, giving glory to God. From the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This fear brings freedom. This fear brings respect. We need to live under God's law, that is not to do evil or wrong to those who do evil to us, not to backstab people who backstab us, or to slander people who slander us. Instead, we are called to do right, to live as free people. As free people, we learn to make decisions on our own, who can do what we want, who can think independently in God's sight. And in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 13 to 14, Paul tells us that though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. Paul's statement and Peter's words are telling us the same thing. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And through this, we will find freedom. We find freedom as we live for God. It is not our own desires, but God's desires that we are submitting ourselves to. It is easy to just read the words, read the scripture verses. You know, years ago, as an expat, I live in a country that it was a closed community. As an expat community, you know, we have houses that's just next to the sandy white beaches. All we need to do is just walk out and we can see. And it was just wonderful. And we didn't have to pay a lot. We didn't have to go to Phuket to enjoy the serene beauty and the white sandy beaches. I knew of a sister in Christ and we were friends. When I first went there, within a year, I drove about 10 hours in a country that I don't really know that well to send her to a retreat center. And her husband was very appreciative, and her two children, and even herself later on were very appreciative. We did things together. We had prayer meetings together, we had Bible study together, and we belonged to the same church, small groups, and it was really, really wonderful. And it was such a blessing to know her. However, as I found later on, that she started, you know, gossiping and spreading slander about me. And it was another sister who told me about this, and I was heartbroken. I cried. And I called my pastor's wife at that time in that country. And I just told, and I just cried, and I just burst into tears. Why would someone do that? Why didn't she just come and tell me if there were things that was not right? All my pastor's wife said was this: do what is right in God's sight. So don't slander back, don't gossip back. But the important thing to do is, am I willing to forgive her? At that time, you know, being bruised and in pain and hurt, I said, I can't at that time. And she said, let me pray for you. And after her prayer, she said, forgiveness is not emotional. It is an intention. Are you willing to forgive her? And I thought about it. I said, yes, because Jesus is my Savior. I will forgive her. Friends, today you and I can choose not to forgive people who have hurt us. We can learn to hate people because they have hurt us. But consider this, when we forgive others, when we love others, God's name is glorified. And we choose to forgive, even though it is not easy. So brothers and sisters, now that you are saved, you do have the freedom to choose whether to sin or not to sin. Do you find yourself abusing that freedom by indulging in sin? Satan is a liar, and he tells us that we have no choice but to sin. That is a lie. The truth is that every time you are tempted, as believers, you do have a choice. The easy choice is to sin. However, as aliens living in this world, we are to swim against the tide. The harder choice is to say no to sin. It is harder to submit as bond slaves to God, to serve God rather than sin. So in conclusion, I want to go over the 3 points. Once again, how to live as aliens in this world, what we need to do. Firstly, we need to fight against our tendency to want to fit in. Secondly, we want to fight against our tendency to rebel against authority. And thirdly, we want to fight against our tendency to abuse our freedom. Let us remember that God has called us to be his holy nation, to be his people separated from the world, to be different. We are challenged to not look at our present circumstances, but to look at our future inheritance. And although we are aliens living here in this world temporarily, we are to represent Christ in every area of our lives, reflecting Christ's promise to us to an eternal home. We are called to live a life consistent with that of a child of God who is on his or her way home to be with the Lord. Our time here is only temporary. Then let's look at our future inheritance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words spoken to us. You have called us to be different. You have called us to be separated from the world. You have called us to be a holy people, a holy nation. So, Lord, help us to be holy. Help us to stand firm. Help us to stand strong and be convicted of your word. May we not give in to peer pressure. May we swim, Lord, against the tide. May we stand, and if necessary, may we rise up again, because your word strengthened us, your word convicted us. And even as we have heard your word, Lord, may we be sanctified. May we continue, Lord, to reflect. And may we do, Lord, what is right in your sight and not go along with what our friends are telling us to do. So we thank you so much, and we pray that as we discuss questions in the breakout rooms later on, that, Lord, we will be honest. We will be able to share, Lord, the impact that your word, Lord, has upon our lives. So thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.